Thank you, Phyllis. Thank you for those who have taken part already. Thank you, Thea, for the songs this morning, especially. Any children in your homes that you can drag to the computer? And I'd like to just start with 2 or 3 minutes to the children, if there are any children near enough to participate. Do we have some? Is Sophia around, Phyllis? And is Lauren around, Norma? Any other kids around? What I want to do, if there are any children around, is to ask, have any of you ever climbed a mountain? Have any of you ever climbed a mountain?
Is it yes or no?
Yes, yes or no? Lauren?
Have you ever climbed a mountain? What's
that? A big mountain, or even a small mountain would do. Look, I want to ask you, do you know what the highest mountain in Britain is? The highest mountain in the UK. Have you any idea? And where is it? So those two questions, the highest mountain in the UK, and where is it? Is it in Scotland? Is it in Wales? Or is it in England? Or is it in Northern Ireland? So tell me if you know where the highest mountain. Any ideas? Not much idea. One of the adults tell me, either in the chat or on unmute yourself, what's the highest mountain in the UK, and where is it?
Could it be Scotland?
It is in Scotland. Thank you. And what is it?
Scotland.
Ben Nevis.
Yep. Okay. So that's the highest mountain in Western Europe. More difficult. Highest mountain in Western Europe.
Himalayas, Brother Barry. Himalayas?
No, Himalayas is in Asia. In Europe, but good go.
Bad geography.
Mont Blanc.
Mont Blanc. Well done. Well, whoever said that. Well done, Marcia. And the highest mountain in Europe as a whole, is it Mont Blanc or is it somewhere else?
Mount Everest?
I had to look this up in Wikipedia because I didn't know.
Mount Everest?
No, it's actually Mount Elbrus in the Caucasus, on the border of Asia and in I think it's in Georgia. Lots of mountains. And what we're beginning this series today on, Jesus went up a mountain and he delivered a long bit of teaching as recorded in Matthew, and it's called the Sermon on the Mount. So why is it called the Sermon on the Mount? Because Jesus went up a mountain to deliver it. So that it's as simple and straightforward as that. And we're looking at one little bit of the Sermon on the Mount this morning. So that's why we thought about mountains with the children and thinking about Jesus going up a mountain and teaching his disciples. So Jesus wasn't teaching the big crowds. This was teaching geared to his disciples. Okay, so we're beginning this new series on some of the questions Jesus asked, as recorded in the Bible, especially from Matthew's Gospel, but also some from Luke and John as well. They're questions that are still relevant to us today. So that's why we're looking at them. So it's not that these are questions 2000 years ago that have no relevance to us today. They still have relevance to us. Some of them are tough questions. Some of them are tricky. some of them, quite honestly, we might differ in our answers to them. Those of you who sometimes perhaps watch Newsnight, it's a program on BBC Two around 10:30, 10:45, something like that, after the news. And if you switch over to BBC Two, it's Newsnight is on. And there's an interviewer on that program called Emily Maitlis. Now, Emily is a tough questioner. She will not let politicians get away with waffly answers or answers that are clearly not quite right or answers that evade the question. So Emily is the kind of tough questioner. Penetrating questions which get to the heart of the matter. And I believe Jesus has the same kind of penetrating questions that get to the heart of the matter. So be prepared to be challenged in this series, challenged by the questions Jesus asks of us. And in 15 minutes on a Sunday morning, we can only scratch the surface of the answers to these questions. So that's why we're also, between now and Easter, and we'll review it at Easter and see whether we go on with it. But basically, what we're going to do is meet on a Tuesday evening for anyone who wants to join us, between 8 and 9, and we're going to look again at the question we considered on the Sunday. So between 8 and 9 on a Tuesday evening, we'll look again and we'll just have a chat about it. It's like a Bible study, but we're going to be able to join in together to think again about the question that Jesus asked us. And I want us to come prepared to challenge each other as well as our own selves in terms of those sessions. Come prepared to discuss. It doesn't matter if we disagree, because that's in a way a good thing, because we can challenge each other as we come to the passage. Okay, so let's go to then Matthew 6, verse 28, which says, why do you worry? It's specifically, why do you worry about clothes? But in fact, Jesus was widening that as Phyllis read to us earlier. This section that was read starts verse 25, therefore I tell you. Okay, so therefore I tell you shows that Jesus is thinking about the context. Matthew, who wrote this down, thinking about the context in which Jesus had already said things. So it means we look at the passage before and see what Jesus had been teaching on, which made him say, therefore, I tell you. So immediately preceding the passage, if you've got a Bible open before you, you see a small section called Treasures in Heaven. And Jesus is looking there at alternatives. Is the alternative of storing up treasures on earth and in heaven, the alternatives of light and darkness, the alternatives of God and money. And Jesus' teaching in that short section makes us look at the consequences of choices about storing up treasures on earth or in heaven, of light and darkness, of God and money, and the consequences of choices. For where your treasure is, there is your heart, verse 21. Verse 23, if the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24, you can't serve God and money. So that's the context in which the passage we're looking at this morning is set. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about what you will eat, drink, or wear. verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? The Greek here, apparently, I don't know Greek, but the commentaries say, the Greek here can mean both add an hour to their life and a cubit to their height. Now, a cubit, it's a biblical measure, and it's a measure from your elbow to the tip of your fingers. So it's about 18 inches, about 50 centimeters, half a meter. So that's a cubit. And if you added a cubit, if you added that amount, 50 centimeters to your height, I'd be 7'6" or something. And so you'd add a lot. Which of you can do that, Jesus says? It's adding an hour to their life or a cubit to the height. And so some translations translate it one way and some another. Why do you worry? Verse 28. Most of you will know that my wife, Gwen, works as a psychotherapist, a counselor. Her view is partly, at least, that worry is part of being human. All of us will worry at some stage. We wouldn't be human if we were walking down the road and suddenly saw a lion coming to meet you. You'd worry then. You'd be terrified. We need to be concerned about certain things acutely, if you met a lion on the road, but also worrying about other things. Worry a bit about exams, the essay you need to write if you're a young person, what you need to get in the way of food for the week if you're caring for your family, setting the alarm clock right to get up for your shift to go into your care home that you work at. Concern about taking the tablets you are on to control your diabetes. But there comes a point where concern like that tips over into an unnecessary worry. And that can be crippling for us. And that's why counselors see in some of their clients an unnecessary worry, an anxiety which comes to dominate their life in a totally unhelpful way. Some people might say this, oh, if you ask me, if Jesus asked me, why do you worry? I'll say, well, that's who I am. I'm a worrier. I was speaking to a relative last week, and she said to me, oh, I'm a worrier. That's my personality. Ever since I was really little, I've worried. And Jesus's words in this question come echoing down 2,000 years. And he asks us today, each one of us, I'm looking at the screen now, at each person's face, why do you worry? And the consequence of that worry, Jesus says, is that you're just like society round about, just like the pagans in society, the people who don't know God. You're like them if you worry and worry and worry. They may be millionaires, they may be billionaires, they may be multi-billionaires, but they still worry to get more and more and more. And Jesus's words, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Three times in these 10 verses, Jesus tells us not to worry. And twice he asks the question of us. So five times in all, in 10 verses, verse 25, do not worry about your life. Verse 31, do not worry about what we will eat. Verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. And the two questions, verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? Of course we should be concerned about what we're going to have for supper tonight. Someone needs to have done the shopping, and somebody needs to have peeled the vegetables, and somebody needs to put them on the stove to cook your meal. But if our lives are dominated by material comforts, too easily these can crowd out a concern for God's kingdom and his righteousness. The Message translation translates the last two verses of our passage, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, in this way. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You will find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Once Jesus was with his disciples on Lake Galilee, and a big storm blew up when Jesus was sleeping. His disciples woke Jesus up, and Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? You have no faith. The disciples were terrified. And fear and worry and terror are all closely connected. Sometimes we don't worry so much about ourselves, but we worry about those near and dear to us. Perhaps aged parents, perhaps wayward children, perhaps close friends who don't yet know Jesus. I find it harder not to worry about those sort of situations than I do about myself. And that's where we need to show a prayerful concern for others in the fellowship, for those who seem to have disconnected from Rye Lane Chapel. To trust God for those people as well as my own life. Often our worry is because we don't trust our loving Heavenly Father. How much more will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? I read something in the week that I think is helpful. I added worry as well as fear, but this is what it says. Fear and worry imprison. Faith liberates. Fear and worry paralyze. Faith empowers. Fear and worry make useless. Faith makes serviceable. Fear and worry dishearten. Faith encourages. Fear and worry sicken. Faith heals. Phyllis last week quoted Jim Elliot, who was killed in 1957, taking the message to the Auca Indians in the Amazon rainforest. And this is what he said, and you'll almost certainly remember it from Phyllis quoting it last week. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Why do we worry? What's the worst that can happen? Sure, we need to live carefully. We need to act responsibly, but we need to trust God and not worry. We have a loving Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. Roman Catholic Archbishop preaching to severely disabled, learning disabled children at Lourdes put it in 5 words. Jesus loves me very much. And Robbie, our severely learning disabled son, knows those words. Sometimes he'll miss out the very, Jesus loves me much. And each day, Jesus says to us, why do you worry? I love you very much. Do we really believe that? God doesn't promise a life of ease and suddenly take all our cares away. Troubles will occur. The pandemic doesn't just go away. But why do you worry? It's not a passive accept everything that comes to you. It's an active trying to change our world. And we need to work hard to do that. But not a gnawing internal driver which worries and worries and worries. And Jesus says, I love you very much. Why do you worry? I don't know whether to do this, Thea, but I'm going to try and sing that little chorus. All your anxieties, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. Not like Thea's voice, apologies for that, but I think it's well, a little chorus that I learned when I was in Sunday school, and well worth repeating. All our anxieties, all our cares, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Why do you worry? He cares for you. He loves you and wants the best for you.